put his trust at Nahazad should also go out and guide people how to get the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we will call Hazrat Mawlana forward to render some Ash'ar poetry in Urdu, which is not just a sing song. This is actually the beautiful bayans of our great Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, which he has put in poetry form. And this is actually great lectures which we will hear. It will be rendered in Urdu, but Mawlana will give the translation. So we'll understand that these are actually great lectures. Each poem that he will recite, we will understand and realize, even if we don't understand the Urdu in the beginning, we shouldn't feel that we are missing out. As we have mentioned, just to be present in this gathering, Allah Ta'ala's special rahmat is here, the malaika are present in this gathering, and then these words that are going to be rendered, the words of the great pious mashayikh, our pious elders, and these are actually lectures that we will hear, one couplet as it will be translated to us, we'll find how valuable it is. And this brings enjoyment into the heart in the sense that a person looks eager now to get this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we call upon Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Qadir Bayat Sahib. Dhamma barakatuh. Come close, inshallah. All the brothers upstairs also, kindly come down as soon as possible. Brothers in the foyer also, kindly come close, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. As our respected Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Rahman Sahib, Tamil Barakatuh, mentioned that these prose and poetry is not a sing song and not for entertainment. Inshallah, it will be rendered in the Urdu language. But before I do that, I just want to do a free translation to understand, from making us understand what is the gist of the recitation. And this is actually the dard-e-dil of a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dard-e-dil of a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The burning pain in his heart that he had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None other than our Dada Sheikh Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. And he was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal to read, to recite, and to write these ash'ar. And each couplet from those ash'ar is a masterpiece. It is a bayan, a lecture, and a nasihat of its own for the reformation of the ummah. A person's islah is made by listening to the ash'ar and practicing on the teachings shown in these couplets. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. We make the niyat, inshallah, the niyat of our self-reformation and the layat for our islah. The caption of the poem is Jalsa-e-Qurb-e-Muhabbat. Jalsa is a short period of time, like the time between two sajdas, just a very short period of time. And Qurb-e-Muhabbat, it is the closeness and proximity for those few seconds, in the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where a person feels in his heart the ecstasy of drawing closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes, in the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love, there are such moments that do come when a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his tongue remains silent. It's absolute silent. But the heart continuously weeps in the love, in the pain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes we go to the majlis, we go to the program of a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He may not say anything. Absolute silent majlis. An absolute silent majlis, which we are not used to. But the amount of nur and effulgence that emits from that heart, it will penetrate in our hearts also. So sometimes they speak, sometimes they don't speak as well. Although in the way of taqwa, in this way of piety, in this way of suluk, where the salik will experience great pains. Although in the way of taqwa, we will experience thousands of heartaches, heartbreaks, sorrows do come. We want to commit sin, but we have to hold ourselves back. That is taqwa. Control our nafs, control our desires, control our egos. But a true lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an ashik and a true salik, the seeker of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the true lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looks at his penultimate and his ultimate object, and he's not deterred, but what comes in between, he suppresses his nafs, he suppresses his desires. So although in the way of taqwa, thousands of heartaches and heartbreaks and sorrows do come, person is tempted, the temptations of sins, but he continues to bear this grief very patiently. And these are the signs of the walis, the saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids that how awful is the result of false and illicit love, that the false lovers continue crying in great disappointment because they have made that their object and they cannot receive that object. They do not attain that object. And the idol, the one that he is, the beloved, continues to sleep. A person is thinking about a certain person. That love for that person is hard. But that person doesn't know what is the feelings of the other person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid that. How awful is the result of this false and illicit love? A person is thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking about that person. Heart, his mind, his soul, his body. But the false lovers continue crying in this great disappointment because nothing is achieved from this. And the idol, the one who he is thinking about, they know nothing. They're having a peaceful sleep. The person who is in difficulty and hardships is the one who has attached his heart to that person. So that person is continuously sleeping peacefully because of the indifference. They don't know what is in your heart and what is in your feelings. But the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the lovers and the seekers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the garment is blackened even a little, when the garment is blackened even a little, in other words, even the smallest sin, it disturbs them, it perturbs them. They cannot rest. When the garment is blackened even a little with sins, then this ish, that love in this case, continues to wash it. Like how a garment is washed with detergents, with soaps, sometimes sprays. The filth is removed, the stain is removed. But the stains of the sins will be removed by the tears of the eyes. By the tears of the eyes. And the crying, that tawbah, that istighfar, the tears of the eyes, and the washing of the heart through this tawbah and istighfar. Then we have been warned, O naive devotee of Allah, do not humiliate, do not look down upon, do not condemn the sinners. Because we are all perpetual and registered sinners. We are perpetual and registered sinners. And if there was no temptations, and if there was no nafs, what will they be for us? We are not angels. We are not angels, you see. We are not angels. Angels don't have a nafs. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi mentioned so beautifully, angels don't have a nafs. They are on one mi'ar, on one level. But sometimes we go angelic, sometimes we go satanic, and if you are not careful, they will sink even deeper than the Titanic. You see? That is the nafs. So sometimes we are so angelic, sometimes so satanic, and sometimes, as I mentioned, if you don't control those temptations and egos and so on, then the Titanic is nothing will be worse than the Titanic, will sink worse than the Titanic. So, O naive devotee of Allah, sometimes we look down upon somebody, no. Don't look down upon someone. We've come here, we come from our Islam. Each one has come for our Islam, for our self-reformation. And each one has that goal, that niyat, that tamanna, that how we can become a better person. So the person you will see him in tawbah, in istighfar, in crying. Do not humiliate him. Do not condemn the sinners. Because when the sinner makes tawbah, when he makes istighfar, the true tawbah, and Allah Ta'ala grant us tawbah to nasuha before maut also. Grant us tawbah to nasuha before maut. Because even the heavens weep upon the pleas and cries when they make the tawbah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. When a person acquires pain in the heart through the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through a perfect sheikh, and the perfect sheikh has been mentioned, that in this way of suluk and this way of path, you cannot tread this path on yourself. Ourselves, we cannot tread this path. We need somebody to guide us. Even a doctor who is sick, he needs another doctor to examine him and diagnose his illness, and perhaps refer him to a specialist, or perhaps refer him to a surgeon. He cannot do his own operation. Imagine the doctor is trying to do his own operation, gives himself anesthetic, and then he thinks that, you know what, in a few moments time, 15 minutes time, I will operate myself. And self-medication, no. He also needs, so we are all spiritually sick. We are all spiritually sick. And that is why we have come here. Swiss, I say in Africa, for the Reformatie Front of the Heart. That is the department of the Afdeling van Correctionale Dienst. We have come for the cleansing of our heart. Of the mantra for the heart. Cleanliness of the heart. So when a person acquires a pain in his heart, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through a perfect shift, somebody that you have a heart, we see that munasibat, that you know what, this person here, who is on sunnah, I can use this person as a sheikh, as a guide, like the example of Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib, Daman Barakatuh, our illustrious sheikh, our spiritual mentor. Then we affiliate ourselves to someone, to a sheikh. Then he continuously feels in the heart the ecstasy of drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is a jalsa. That is a jalsa. Jalsa is just for a few moments. Yet it will be only for a few moments. The big mujahida will come and we leave from here. How are we going to control our eyes? How are we to control our nafs and so on? The big mujahida will come there. This is still the small mujahida. But here we are given some training, inshallah. Then Hazrat Wala says, Rahmatullah Ali, O Akhtar, the one who sacrifices his heart and soul for others, then as a result of disloyalty, we attach our hearts to the hearts of those who are going to become, who are perishable, who is going to become dust. He is deprived of Allah's love, Allah's nearness, Allah's friendship, Allah's mercy. So two things can't go together. You can't be obedient to Allah and also obedient to shaitan. You have to choose one of the two. You can't be obedient to Allah and obedient to the nafs. Because the nafs is a continuous battle. Sometimes we will ride the nafs, sometimes the nafs will ride us. But we're continuously making that effort against the nafs. So through this, inshallah, through the pathway, first of all, we must accept and acknowledge that we are sick. And we need remedies, we need treatment. And we need somebody to help us and assist us. Then the Sheikh, mashallah, will give us a prescription. And then the prescription, we don't go and frame it and put it on the wall. That prescription, mashallah, we'll have to adopt. Then we'll have to inform the Sheikh. And that's how we will say ittila and ittiba, inform the Sheikh that this is my condition. And then the Sheikh will guide us. So, inshallah, with this niyat, inshallah, we will listen to it now. We have a sort of a very brief, it's a drop in the ocean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us an understanding, inshallah. Inshallah, that will also be mentioned in the programs, inshallah. The identification of a perfect sheikh, so inshallah. When the nasiha will be made, inshallah. That sheikh that is on the sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but inshallah, in the nasiha program, it will also be mentioned during the course of the programs, inshallah. Jalsa-e qurb-e muhabbat.
Muhabbat mein kabhi aisa zamana bhi guzarta hai, zubaan khamosh rehti hai magar dil rota rehta hai. Muhabbat mein kabhi aisa zamana bhi guzarta hai, zubaan khamosh rehti hai magar dil rota rehta. Agar chehra hai taqwa mein hazaron hum bhi aate hain, مگر جو عاشق صادق ہے غم کو سہتا رہتا ہے. اگر چہرہ تقوی میں ہزاروں ہم بھی آتے ہیں, مگر جو عاشق صادق ہے غم کو سہتا رہتا ہے. سلائے عشق مجازی کا یہ کیسا ہے ارے توبہ, کہ عاشق روتے رہتے ہیں سنم خود سوتا رہتا ہے. سلائے عشق مجازی کا یہ کیسا ہے ارے توبہ, کہ عاشق روتے رہتے ہیں سنم خود سوتا رہتا ہے.
جی اچھا, جس کا بھی جی اچھا. ان دی illicit لو, illicit لو, اے پرسن دیٹ از فیٹیٹائزنگ آن سم تھنگ, اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ فوربڈ. That how awful is it, the result of this fault and illicit love. Person is thinking of another lady, is thinking of another woman, and these thoughts are playing continuously, continuously in his mind and continuously in his heart. This is that ishq-e majazi. But the person who is thinking about that person doesn't know anything. That person is enjoying a peaceful sleep, but this person is in desperation. Or say desperado. He's in desperation. Desperation that he wants that, wants that, wants that object. But that person doesn't even know what his thoughts and what his ideas are.
Mohabbat mein kabhi sa zamana bhi guzarta hai, zuba khamosh rehti hai, magar dil rota rehta hai. محبت میں کبھی سا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے, زبان خاموش رہتی ہے مگر دل روتا رہتا ہے. خطاؤں کی اگر آئی ہے دامن پر ذرا سی آئی, تو اپنے آنسو سے عشق اس کو دوتا رہتا. خطاؤں کی اگر آئی ہے دامن پر ذرا سی آئی, تو اپنے آنسو سے عشق اس کو دوتا رہتا. گنہگاروں کی مت تحقیر کر اے زاہد نادا, گنہگاروں کی مت تحقیر کر اے زاہد نادا, کہ ان کی آہ زاری پر فلک بھی روتا رہتا. گنہگاروں کی مت تحقیر کر اے زاہد نادا, کہ ان کی آہ زاری پر فلک بھی روتا رہتا ہے. محبت میں کبھی سا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے, زبان خاموش رہتی ہے مگر دل روتا رہتا ہے. بویز مرشد کامل جو درد دل ہوا حاصل, تو دل پر جلسل قرب محبت ہوتا رہتا ہے. بفیض مرشد کام جو درد دل ہوا حاصل, تو دل پر جلسل قرب محبت ہوتا رہتا ہے. جو غیروں پر فدا کرتا ہے اپنے قلب جا اختر, بجرب وفائی حق سے وہ محروم رہتا ہے. جو غیروں پر فدا کرتا ہے اپنے قلب جا اختر, وجرم وفائی حق سے وہ محروم رہتا ہے. محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے, زبان خاموش رہتی ہے مگر دل روتا رہتا ہے.
اللہ تعالیٰ grant us the true love and true محبت of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time and again, inshallah, our concern and our fikr and our worry should be the rectification of ourselves, the cleanliness of our hearts and the purifications of our soul, and always to try and sit in the company of the pious, inshallah. The company of the pious is such that even if they don't speak and don't utter a word, they don't speak and don't utter a word, we will not go from there without any benefit. In other words, we'll always benefit, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala always give us the tawfiq of sitting in the company of the pious, inshallah.
Once again, we say Jazakallah to Hazrat Maulana Abdul Qadir Sahab. Respected elders and friends, again, just to understand that this poetry that was rendered, this was not just to pass time and to listen to a song. This was actually the lecture of a great pious servant, Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab, Rahmatullah Alayh. And because his language is Urdu, he rendered it in Urdu. And it doesn't mean that Urdu is any English or Indian language or something. Actually, the great Shaykh Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayh, when he came and brought the hadith to India, Pakistan, to the Indo-Pak, and he formulated the Urdu language, which is totally different from all the other Indian Hindi languages. So Urdu language is a very sweet language also, very easy to understand also. But most important, what was rendered here is to understand, as one couplet Hazrat has mentioned, that when you give your heart to somebody else besides Allah, in other words, you get involved in sin, the disobedience of Allah. And as we have heard, our Honorable Shaykh Abdul Hamid Sahib Da'wah Barakatuh has explained also, that we will be performing namaz also, we will be bachaing salah also, wasa also, we'll be keeping our fast also, but with that we are engaged in haram, we are looking at some movies, we are looking at some woman, etc., then we will not get the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will deprive us of the true closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, we should remind ourselves and be conscious that we are sitting in the masjid, mashallah. This is a great ibadat, so we should make the niyat of itikaf also. If we haven't, that make the niyat. We should have the etiquettes which we should have mentioned, and we should know it is written on the entrance of the masjid board also, that before we enter, we read Bismillah, we read Durood upon Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wassalat wassalamu ala Rasulillah. Read the dua, Rabbi khfirli zunubi waftahli abwaab rahmati, and make the niyat of itikaf also. Then inshallah we'll be getting extra benefit. Every minute we'll be sitting and bringing alive all the sunnats, so much reward we will get. Now we will call one of our elders, Hazrat Hafiz Yusuf Gundiwala Sahab Damat Barakatum, who's a ustad in Azadwal Madrasa. And Hazrat Hafiz Yusuf has spent a lot of time with the pious elders, Hazrat Mohana Masiullah Rahmatullah Alayh, and he has spent a lot of time with other great elders also. And he is the Khalifa of our Dada Shaykh, Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So he will give us important advices. We should try and listen attentively and make a intention that Allah make our Islam and guide us onto the path that we can find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'd. Fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون أي ليعرفون. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who through His infinite grace and mercy has created us amongst His most superior creation. Had Allah ta'ala so willed, we could have come into existence as a stone, as a tree, as a leaf, as an animal, as a droplet of water. So from His entire creation, His entire universe, He chose you and I to be amongst Ashraful Makhluqat, the highest form of creation. So much so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقْتُهُ بِيَدَيْهِ, I have created this insan with my hands. Does not mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala physically has hands. What it means is with His power and His special qudrat and His special attention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this insan. Now, insan has been given aql, intelligence. And the work of intelligence is to differentiate, to be able to tell the difference between that which is good, which is beneficial, which is helpful, and that which is harmful, which is destructive, which is poisonous. So that by being able to tell this difference, we can then acquire the good, get the good, and protect ourselves from that which is harmful, which is bad, which is destructive. I always give the example to the children in the madrasa, an example which they readily understand. I say, supposing a person buys a brand new BMW, top of the range, all the bells and whistles, all the frills, and mashallah, he takes this BMW and he parks it in his garage. And he parks it in his garage, and it stays in the garage for the next 10 to 15 years. And he never takes the pleasure of sitting in the car, of driving it, of enjoying it. So I say, what would you say about such a person? The kids automatically start laughing and say, what a foolish man. He's got the best car, but he's not taking benefit from it. He's not enjoying this beautiful car that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. So then I explain to them that there isn't, if we look closely, then many times there isn't much difference between us and that person that we are laughing at. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much ability, so much capability of reaching so high and so close and so near to Him. And if we don't use this ability and we don't get that close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then my beloved brothers, you tell me, what's the difference between us and that person? Gee, so, as I said, we are fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us as insan. What is the work of insan? What is the purpose? Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this insan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself provides the answer to this in the Quran Kareem, where He says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ أي لِيَعْرِفُونَ. The Mufassirin explain this further. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have not created jinn and mankind illa, except liya'budun, except that they worship me. And the mufassirin explain this liya'budun as liya'rifun, in other words, so that they recognize me. Because to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without recognizing Him is impossible. So it is necessary to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly before we can do justice to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does one recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The poet beautifully says, Tu zahir hai, magar laak pardo mein hai. In Urdu, he says that zahir is one of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the manifest. But at the same time, he is hidden by a million veils. So if a person looks at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's take an example. The fingerprint of a human being. No two people, how many billion people in the world at the moment? How many did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam till today? How many will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still create till the end of time? And no two people amongst all those countless billions will ever have the same fingerprint. It is said that when a zebra foal is born, now to us every zebra looks the same. The qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the mother blows into the nose and the gaze of that foal falls on the mother, and like the fingerprint, those stripes are unique. Each zebra has a unique set of stripes. So the stripes of that mother are imprinted on the mind of that child, of that foal. So if there are 1,000 or 100,000 zebras present, that foal will be able to tell the difference. This is my mother and this is not. This is the qudrat of Allah. So we see Allah Ta'ala in the creation of the zebra. We see Allah Ta'ala in the creation of the fingerprint. We see Allah Ta'ala in the shedding of a tear. We see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beautiful smile of a baby. Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hay Saab, rahmatullah alayhi, a very pious person, he was a homeopathic doctor who lived in Pakistan, explains very beautifully how we can take advantage of every single situation in every day of our lives and use it to our benefit in order to draw closer and closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives the example. He says, supposing I'm hungry, my desire is to eat, so I hold on for a few moments. I don't just eat because my desire is to eat. And then I talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, you have created this hunger in me. My body requires the food. I need to live, I need to eat. So I am going to eat this food, which is a ni'mat provided by you, so that I can gain the strength to worship you as you deserve to be worshipped. So his eating has become an ibadah. He used his eating to recognize Allah Ta'ala and to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His little child is there, his desire is, any father's desire would be to hug the child, pick the child up and kiss the child. So he says, hold on for a few moments. I say, Ya Allah, you gave me this beautiful child. And it is the right of this child that I play with him. And it is the right of this child that I kiss this child. So for your pleasure, I'm going to pick this child up. And I'm going to play with this child and I'm going to kiss this child. And then he does it. So things which we do every day of our lives, but we do it just automatically. If we just hold on for those few seconds and formulate the correct intention, then that playing with the child, that dressing, that eating, that sleeping, that waking up, whatever action it may be, will be a means of drawing closer and closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where that recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in. This food is provided by you. This clothing is provided by you. The home is provided by you. The masjid is provided by you. The wife is provided by you. The children are provided by you. Everything I possess And everything I don't possess, all belongs to you. You have given it to us. You have created it for us to take benefit from. So this recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once a person starts on this path of recognition and he starts seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his day-to-day affairs, then it is inevitable, it is but natural that this feeling of deep and intense love will develop in his heart. Another example I always use with the children. Supposing you open your door every morning and in your letterbox you find a brand new crisp 200 rand note every morning without fail. There's a 200 rand note waiting for you. You're going to start wondering, who is this benevolent person? Who is this kind and generous person that takes the trouble to come and leave 200 rands every single day in my box? Your desire will be to meet this person. What can I do in return for this person? How can I please? This person is doing everything for my benefit. What can I do to make this person happy? So that is an insan who's left that 200 rand note. That kind and benevolent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave me these eyes. What is the value of these eyes? 200 rand? 2 million? Somebody says, right, I need an eye. You've got two, give me one. What's your price? Who will be prepared to sell? Priceless. That's one ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. That if you try to enumerate, if you try to count, and Allah ta'ala doesn't use the word in arm, he says ni'mah, singular. So how do you count? One. One is one. There's no counting beyond that. But the wisdom in that, even in one ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are countless, unlimited ni'mats even in that one ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a multi-billionaire, many years before, he probably died now, a Greek oil magnate by the name of Aristotle Onassis. Multi-billionaire. He lost the use of the muscle that allows you to close your eyes and open your eyes at will. And all those billions couldn't buy him back that one muscle. If he wanted to keep his eye open, he had to use tape to keep it open and remove the tape when he wants to close it. A ni'mat we take for granted every day of our lives. The ability to open and close the eyelids. Let's take the ni'mat of taste. How the tongue can differentiate between the taste of a mango to a taste of a strawberry, the taste of a melon, the taste of something strong, sweet, sour, bitter. Imagine you lose this ability. Food will taste like cardboard, no difference. So this great, benevolent, wonderful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us just these few things that we've spoken about now, these few ni'mats. Doesn't that feeling now come into our hearts? What can I do now in return to please this beloved benefactor of mine? This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is giving me without fail. As Hazrat Maulana Abdul Qadir Sahib, Damat Barakatuh mentioned earlier, we are registered sinners. Who of us can say that besides Zambi alayhi salatu wa salam, nobody is masoom? We all have our shortcomings, we all have our faults. In spite of all our shortcomings, in spite of our day-to-day disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which ni'mat has He taken away from us? And He would be fully in His right to snatch those ni'mats away from us because we are so disobedient. Yet, he keeps on showering us with more and more and more. So now doesn't this feeling come in our hearts? What can I do now in return to show some form of gratitude? Some form of thankfulness to that great being who is giving me without measure. So now, the more we ponder about this, the more we think about this, the greater that love and the greater that desire to please that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter into our hearts. It will keep on growing in that love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says in the Quran al-Kareem, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. See? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. That those who believe, the mu'min, his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ashad. Ashad is the plural form. It's very intense. So it's not just a basic love, but it's a very deep, it's a very intense love that the mu'min has for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my beloved brothers, this is the reason we have all gathered today. This is why we have come here, to develop this. This is one of the things that a person acquires from the Shaykh Islami. Rather pose the question that how do we recognize, how do we differentiate, how do we know who a Shaykh Kamil is? And to begin with, as Hazrat Muhammad Abdul Qadir Sahib explained, that Shaykh Kamil is that individual first and foremost who lives his life in total conformity to the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one. Secondly, he has spent sufficient amount of time in the company of that individual who spent time in the company of that individual who spent time in the company of that individual, and this chain without a break continues right up to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Shaykh al-Kamil will have a shajara, a chain linking him through his Shaykh right up to the Sahaba, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as in the example of Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, his silsila continues right up to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and then to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what he has learned from his Shaykh, who has learned from his Shaykh, who going all the way up, learned from Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who learned directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, the Shaykh in essence is a spiritual doctor who has the knowledge and the experience to diagnose the illnesses, the diseases of the heart. Not the physical, but the diseases of the heart. Pride, envy, jealousy, hatred, looking down on people. Detecting these diseases and providing appropriate cures for these diseases as well. As an example, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Alay, very great Shaykh in the same silsila, in the same chain going up to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, explains that one day an individual who was very prominent in society, a very wealthy man, came to take bay'ah at his hands. And accompanying this wealthy person was his servant or attendant who had a basket on his head full of sweetmeats. So they both entered and the worker put the sweetmeats down and he went back and returned home to do his work. So when Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah observed this, he detected something in this wealthy person.
After a little while, he tells this individual, look, I did give you a specified time whereupon I would enter you into the silsila, I would make bed, but some important work has cropped up. If you'll accompany me, we'll go to this other destination and I will enter you into the silsila there. I will take, make bed at that place. So the question arises, now the servant is gone, who's going to pick up the basket? So obviously now the man is looking around, but he knows now his servant is not there. So he is forced to pick the basket up, put it on his head. And Maulana Thanwi made sure that he walked through that area of town where this person was very well known. Now imagine this tycoon walking with a basket on his head through the streets, through the shopping malls. Anyway, they reach their destination. Maulana does whatever he wants. He says, okay, we're going back to point of origin. We'll do the work there. Now he puts the basket back on his head and they're walking right through the shopping area where he is very well known. Finally, they reach their destination and everything is done. And he becomes bare. This individual says that Maulana detected the disease of pride within me. The first instance, he just met the man there. The man just entered and he already detected this disease of pride. And he made him pick this up and walk through the streets to neutralize that pride, to remove that pride. The man says after that, he says, Wallah, now it makes no difference. I can pick up a basket full of human feces and walk through the streets, it means nothing to me. The pride has been removed from my heart. So, this is what a Sheikh Al-Kamil does for us. He understands the workings of the inner self. How to eradicate, how to remove, how to cure these diseases. The jealousy that may creep into the heart. What is the cure for this? So obviously it takes an expert. Every field has its experts. And the expert in dealing with the human being, the human element, the akhlaq-e-razila, the destructive qualities of the heart, of the self, that is the speciality of the Shaykh Kamil. He has understood, he has been trained in curing these diseases. So, a person will have to spend time in the company of different mashayikh, because a very important factor on this path is what is in Arabic termed as munasabat, which can be translated as congeniality or compatibility. Right? So for example, a doctor, you're comfortable with a specific doctor, and you travel, if it means traveling that extra 10-15 minutes, you take the time to go there because you are comfortable with him. He understands you and you understand him. So similarly with a sheikh, choose such a sheikh with whom you have this level of compatibility, that you can open up, you can talk to him, you can discuss things with him. Because there's no point in having a sheikh of whom you are totally in awe and you can't open up and you can't talk and you can't discuss anything. Because that's not, it's not going to work for you. It's not going to help you in curing yourself. Right? So this is a very important factor to bear in mind as well. So coming back to where we started off, when this recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts occupying the heart, then there's no happier person on the face of this earth, wallah, than such a person. That is why Hazrat Shah Waliullah rahmatullah used to say that if the kings of Delhi, he was in India, the Mughal kings, were to realize what treasure Waliullah possesses in his heart, then they would come with their armies to try and snatch this treasure away from him. But no army can snatch that treasure away. That is a treasure which is granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to make our effort. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, when a man takes one step towards me, I take 10 steps towards him. So when we make that little bit of effort, that's what Allah ta'ala wants to see. Like that little child who's taking those faltering steps, and how the father assists and helps the child till he can walk, and not only walk but run. So like that, we're going to fall, we're going to slip, we are insan, we are human. We've got our shortcomings, we've got our faults. But Allah Ta'ala wants to see that desire to want Him. And when He sees this within us, then inshallah, our journey to Him will be speeded up by light years. Very, very quickly, that recognition and that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be entrenched, will become deep-rooted in our hearts, inshallah ta'ala. And, like I said, then there'll be nobody happier than us on the face of this earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this bounty of recognizing Him and thereby developing this intense love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
JazakAllah Hafiz Yusuf Kundewala Sahib. We make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the correct understanding in our hearts, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us His true love. We'll call upon now also one of our elders of our country, Hazrat Mawlana Rafiq Hatpurani Sahib, Damat Barakatum. Hazrat is the Khalifa of Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Damat Barakatum. Hazrat is teaching in Mayfair, and Hazrat was very engaged in all efforts of deen from many, many years also, and one of the elders of our country. And Hazrat spent time with great personalities like Allama Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullahi, etc. So we will call upon Hazrat Mawlana Rafiq Haturani Sahib down Barakatum to render some poetry. And as I've mentioned, this poetry is not just for entertainment. These are bayans. As we will hear, Mawlana will explain it to us, then we'll understand what great enjoyment there is in getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Brothers, I have this ash'ar of Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. This was about the first few ash'ar that I used to read in Hazrat's presence. Although I'm very unworthy, and the way Hazrat, we should have appreciated Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi's presence in the world, that we did not appreciate it the way we ought to appreciate it. Nevertheless, this is from almost the first ash'ar that I read in front of Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi, and Hazrat used to really appreciate it, and Hazrat used to also enjoy it, and Hazrat would give us a lot of himmat and a lot of courage. And the Nazam is entitled Tere Aashikon Mein Jeena, Tere Aashikon Mein Marna. This is like a munajat. It never gets old, wherein a person speaks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he confers with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meri zindagi ka haasil, meri zist ka sahara. As Mawlana Gundiwala, mashallah, just explained the importance of living and staying in the company of the big people of the Allah wala. So the khulasa and the gist of this whole ash'ar is the same thing. The company, of the importance of the company of the Allah wala. And the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ashiqeen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meri zindagi ka haasil, meri zist ka sahara, tere aashikon mein jeena, tere aashikon mein marna. The purpose of my life and the support of my life, it's also the support is that Tere Aashikon Mein Jeena, that I should live amongst your Aashikin, your devotees, those who love you, and Tere Aashikon Mein Marna, and also to die amongst them. Mujhe kuch khabar nahi thi, Tera dard kya hai ya Rab, O Rab, O Allah, O my Lord, I did not know what it is to love you, until Tere Aashikon Se Seekha, Tere Sang Dar Pe Marna, until I got in touch and I got the accompaniment of your Aashiqeen and your devotees, and from them did I learn how to love you and to how to develop the pain and bring that pain into my heart. Pain here means, doesn't mean pain in a true sense of the word, it means the love that a person has for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Rahmatullah alayhi says further, I'm not going to translate all the couplets. Ye teri ata hai ya rab, ye hai tera jazbe pinha, mera naal hai nadamat, tere sang dar pe karna. O Allah, this is just your grace and your gift, and this is your bounty. What is it? That through the hidden magnetic pull, that is, that with which you pull me and you attract me towards yourself, and through that you have given me this hidayat and this tawfiq to turn towards you in nadamat and in remorse and in regret for all the wrongs that I have done in my life. Also, Hazrat says, Mera har khata pe rona, yahi hai meri talafi, teri rahmaton ka sarqa, mera jurma afwa karna. I should be, with this tawfiq that you have given me to make tawbah and to turn to you in repentance, though mera har khata pe rona, yahi hai meri talafi, that the only way I can make amends is by crying over each and every sin that I have committed. Tere rahmaton ka sadqa. Now, Hazrat says, O Allah, through the barakah of your rahmah, through the intermediary of your rahmah, O Allah, forgive all my sins. Hazrat further says, Yehi aashikon ka shiva, yehi aashikon ki aadat, kabhi giryo bukahe, kabhi aah sard barna. This is the habits of your aashiqeen and your devotees, that sometimes you'll find them that they is crying and they is weeping. And sometimes when they start and think and they ponder over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they sigh, they take a deep breath of sigh. Ah, ah. Tere shaan-e jazb hai ye, tere band parwari hai, mere jaan o dil ka tujhko hama waqt yaad karna. And again, this is the attraction of yours, and a magnetic pull of yours, that you have given me the tawfiq that I should remember you at all times with my heart and with my mind. Kisi ahle dil ki sohbat jo mili kisi ko akhtar. Oh akhtar, any person who has attained the sohbat and the accompaniment of some devotee of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some ahle dil, some person who has Allah in his heart, the ahlullah. So what has happened? If that person, any person gets the sohbat of such a person, then that person in reality has learned how to live and he has learned how to die. Usse aa gaya hai jeena, usse aa gaya hai marna. So brothers, real living is that living in which there is enjoyment. And enjoyment cannot come when a person forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 24 hours Allah is in his heart, Allah is on his tongue, Allah is in front of him, Allah is all the time with him. That person really knows how to live and that person really knows how to die. There is quality in such living. There is quality in such living. There is no quality in the living of a person who has got everything of this world, but he's got no Allah in his heart. Man a'arada an dhikri fa'inna lahu ma'ishatan dhankan. Any person who turns away from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for him, there is a difficult life. And any person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ala bi dhikrillahi tathma'innul qulub. That person has got everything. He's got all the enjoyment you can think of, a person who thinks and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, I'll read this nazam, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Meri zindagi ka hasil, meri zist ka sahara, meri zindagi زندگی کا حاصل میری زیست کا سہارا تیرے عاشقوں میں جینا تیرے عاشقوں میں مرنا مجھے کچھ خبر نہیں تھی تیرا درد کیا ہے یا رب مجھے کچھ خبر نہیں تھی تیرا درد کیا ہے یا رب تیرے عاشقوں سے سیکھا تیرے سنگ در پہ مرنا میری زندگی کا حاصل میری زیست کا سہارا تیرے عاشقوں میں جینا تیرے عاشقوں میں مرنا یہ تیری عطا ہے یا رب یہ ہے تیرا جذب پنہا میرا نال اے ندامت تیرے سنگ در پہ کرنا میرا ہر خطا پہ رونا یہی ہے میری تلافی تیری رحمتوں کا صدقہ میرا جرم عفو کرنا میری زندگی کا حاصل میری زیست کا سہارا تیرے عاشقوں میں جینا تیرے عاشقوں میں مرنا یہی عاشقوں کا شیوا یہی عاشقوں کی عادت یہی عاشقوں کا شیوا یہی عاشقوں کی عادت کبھی گری او بکا ہے کبھی آہ سرد بھرنا تیری شان جذبہ ہے یہ تیری بندہ پروری ہے میرے جان و دل کا تجھ کو ہم وقت یاد کرنا میری زندگی کا حاصل میری زیست کا سہارا تیرے عاشقوں میں جینا تیرے عاشقوں میں مرنا کسی اہل دل کی صحبت جو ملی کسی کو اختر کسی اہل دل کی صحبت جو ملی کسی کو اختر اسے آ گیا ہے جینا اسے آ گیا ہے مرنا اسے آ گیا ہے جینا اسے آ گیا ہے مرنا میری زندگی کا حاصل میری زیست کا سہارا تیرے عاشقوں میں جینا تیرے عاشقوں میں مرنا
جزاکم اللہ
پورا دو گھنٹہ سناتے
اسے جزاک اللہ تو حضرت مولانا رفیق صاحب دام البرکات ہوں Brothers, we can see from this how the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a beautiful way. We might be thinking, what is the singing songs? But when a person falls in love in haram, illicit love affairs, then all the time he's thinking of making up poetry and he just enjoys to read some poems in front of his beloved haram entertainment and he thinks he's praising his beloved. But when a person gets the connection of the creator of love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person gets the real connection of the love of Allah, then to sing to Allah and then to sing the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes so enjoyable that a person doesn't want to stop. You just want to hear about the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever language you know, the language is not a barrier with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have to be in Urdu. It does any language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great and so kind that a person who is dumb, our honorable illustrious Shaykh Abdul Hamid Sahib Daam Barakatum explained so beautifully, that person who is dumb, so to say, he's got no language, but Allah knows his language of the heart also. So this is what we have come here, to open our hearts and realize that this poetry actually is to enhance this love. When a person has got love for Allah, then like if somebody has shown, tells you, I'll show you the road to how to find a million rand, how to make a million in few minutes. Then, and you find, and you see he's sincere and he showed you the way. You never stop singing the praises of that. What is a million and billion and trillion cannot compare to 1 minute of the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that person who has guided you towards Allah Rabbul Izzat, that is what is called a Shaykh, who's got the recognition of Allah, which translates into the greatness of Allah comes in his heart. And then the love of Allah is in that heart, and that person, so to say, holds your hand and show you the path to Allah. Then you tell everybody that now the sum total of my life is just to be with this man. I want to live with him, I want to die with him. Because he showed me how to love for Allah and how to die for Allah. Allah Ta'ala give us all this reality. Now Alhamdulillah we've got another important bayan, another important lecture that will take place. The Hazrat Maulana Dawood Siddat Sahib, Damat Barakatum. Hazrat is a graduate of Darulum Azadwal also, and Hazrat has sat in the company of many mashayikh. Hazrat was very close to one of our great learned elders of our country, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, who also had this great love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and passed it on to the world. And then Hazrat showed finally that when you got this love of Allah, Allah will take you in such a way that the whole world will envy, that I also want to live and meet Allah ta'ala in this way. So Hazrat was the close Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Dawood Sahib. Hazrat Maulana Dawood Sahib was the close Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Batel Sahib down Barakatum. And now presently Hazrat is bad to Hazrat Maulana Mazhar Sahib down Barakatum, our honorable illustrious Dada Sheikh son who has rendered the bayan last night also, who has made the zikr for us. Tonight also he'll be having a program. And he's also got khilafat from Hazrat Maulana Mazhar Sahib down Barakatum. So let us pay attention and listen inshallah. And not long inshallah, then we can see to our physical diet inshallah. Meals will be served very soon. But let us pay attention now. This is more important. The spiritual meal is much, much more important than the physical nourishment, inshallah.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم وقد قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء مع من أحبه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم جو ہر دم خدا پر فدا ہو رہے ہیں وہ فانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے ہیں. الحمدللہ with the فضل کرم and احسان of Allah سبحانہ وتعالی, اللہ پاک has allowed us to sit in his house to make some مذاکرہ of his deen, and these type of gatherings are such that they are the places of grazing for those people who want Jannah, those people who want the love of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Animals will get their nourishment from grass. Others will get their nourishment from what Allah Pak has stipulated as their diet. We will get our physical nourishment from food. But the nourishment for our soul, the nourishment for our iman, this will be attained in these type of gatherings. So in the words of my Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Shakim Muhammad Mazhar Sahib, Da'al Barakatuhu, he says, we must really treasure these type of gatherings, because we don't know, mabada ye waqt aayega ya nahi. We don't know if we will get this type of an opportunity again in our lives. We don't know if this opportunity will, if Allah Pak will give us the, you know, the tawfiq to be in a gathering like this ever again. For myself, I feel very, very comfortable when a child has his father close by, then he has some himmat, he has courage. So when I have all my elders very, very close, so then it gives a little bit of himmat to sit here. Otherwise, this is not our place. But if I have to start now from one side telling you how Allah Pak has allowed me to benefit from the people sitting here, then the whole time of the bayan will get finished. But I have benefited from many, many of our elders that are sitting here. Allah Pak give me tawfiq to continue benefiting. So khair, my Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, my late Shaykh, he used to always mention this to us, that you think people who are taking drugs, they are getting a high. They are going on a high. You say the person is on a high. Or different people in their different evils, their different inclinations towards different sins, they feel they're getting some type of a high or some type of enjoyment in those type of things. But he used to tell us that if you really want enjoyment, you want true enjoyment, then fall in love with Allah Ta'ala. Fall in love with Allah Ta'ala. If you have to fall in love with Allah Ta'ala, then everything else will fade into oblivion. This is the greatest thing. And he used to give this beautiful example that if a person is sucking on a green sour mango, Person is sucking on a green sour mango. Now if you try to take that mango away from him, he'll fight with you. Say, why are you taking my mango? This is my mango. But if you give him a wonderful sweet mango, you just place it next to him, give him a nice sweet mango. Let him get the smell of that sweet mango. Let him try one bite. And he automatically, he would leave that sour mango. He will discard that sour mango. In the same way, this deen of Allah, it is sweet. This deen of Allah Ta'ala, it is our natural way of life. This is how we're supposed to be living. But unfortunately, we are sucking on green mangoes. And we are thinking that this is the ultimate. But if we just take a taste of this deen, then we ourselves, we will discard the green mangoes. In Ma'riful Quran, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he mentions in the tafsir of Surah Yusuf, there is one point mentioned there, that Zulaykha, who later on became the wife of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, but prior to that, she was the wife of the Aziz Misr, the minister of Egypt. She was his wife. You may be acquainted with the story. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam came into that home as a slave. And he was working in the household. He grows up into a young man. The wife of the Aziz Misr, who was normally a chaste woman, she was not a woman of ill repute. She was a chaste woman, a respectable woman, who had a respectable husband. However, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah Pak had given him such handsomeness that she got overtaken. She got overtaken with his handsomeness. And this led her, she was so infatuated, that she forgot her honesty towards her husband. She forgot about her chastity. She put everything aside. And she wants to commit zina with Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam is a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, they are masoom, they are protected by Allah Rabbul Izzat. So I'm not going into the incident. But Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, he runs away from that incident, Allah Pak protects him. And later on, due to the same thing, he is imprisoned, is put into the prison. And it is mentioned there also in Ma'riful Quran, that when he went into the prison, he showed those prisoners such akhlaq that they all fell in love with him. The people of the prison, they told Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, he said, you know, we love you. He said, please don't love me. Please don't love me. Whenever anybody loved me, it landed me in hot water. Say, my mother loved me. Due to that, I got accused of theft. That landed me in hot water. Then my father loved me. Due to that, I got thrown in the pit of a well. And then the wife of the Aziz and Misr loved me. Due to that, I got thrown in prison. So please don't love me. So khair, after he was taken out of prison, the king, you know, asked for his release. It's a long kissa, your ulama will explain it to you. But later on, when the Aziz Misr, the minister of Egypt, passed away, then the king arranged the nikah of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam to Zulaykha alayhi salam. Now she has come into his nikah in a permissible way. The same action which was haram a few days ago or a few years ago, the same action now would become ibadat. It would become worship now. But after some time, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, he notices that his wife, Hazrat Zulaykha, is not showing him the type of love and affection that she had for him in the early days, and the type of mad love she was showing before they came into nikah, she doesn't have that anymore. And it is mentioned there in the tafsir that on the other hand, Allah Pak had put so much of love for Hazrat Zulaikha alayhi salam in the heart of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, that he loved her more than what she ever loved him. So khair, one day, he asked her, so what's the problem? What has happened here? You, when you are not in nikah, you are prepared to do anything to commit zina with me. In the early days, you loved me so much. Now what is happening? You don't have that type of love for me like what you had in the early days. So listen to her answer. She says that after coming into your nikah, you have taught me how to love Allah Ta'ala. You have taught me how to love Allah Ta'ala. And now that I have fallen in love with Allah Ta'ala, now even that love for you, it has dimmed a little bit. Because now I have Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, it's a famous, it's well known, all the ayat of the Quran Sharif are famous, it's from Allah, has to be famous. But an ayat that is very well known in our tongues and in our minds, Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That Allah Ta'ala says, I haven't created jinnat and insan except for my worship. And we learn from our seniors, our akabirin, that this liya'budun actually means liya'rifun. It's so that we gain recognition of who our Allah is. Who our Allah is. So Allah Pak is saying that I didn't create you except for this reason, for this maqsad, that you must recognize who I am. This is your work on earth. You must recognize who I am. My Shaykh Awwal, Hazji Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali, Allah Pak fill his qabr with noor. In one majlis, which was transcribed by Dr. Ismail Bangera Sahib, Naun Barakatuhu, Allah Pak keep him with sihat and afiyat, and grant him jazai khair for all the work that he is doing. One of those majalis that Dr. Sahib has transcribed, I think one of the last ones that have been transcribed, Abaji Rahmatullah Ali, he mentions in that particular majlis that in life there are certain things that are maqsood and certain things that are ghair maqsood. Certain things that are an objective and other things are not the objective. And then he gives an example of certain things that are not the objective, but it, because it helps us, because it helps us to attain the objective, it also comes part of the objective. It also becomes part of the objective. However, the thing that is not the objective is not something that we spend too much of time on. So then, Abaji Rahmatullah Ali, he went on to explain with an example. He says, take the example of salah. To read salah is maqsood. It's an objective. To make wudu is not the objective. We don't make wudu for the sake of making wudu. We make wudu because we want to read salah. So making wudu is not the objective. But because it assists us and it helps us to attain our objective, it also becomes part of the objective. However, if a person has got a little bit time, extra time, he will read few extra rakat nafal salah, but he won't sit and make extra wuzus. He made wuzu one time. After that, he said, I've got a little bit extra time, let me make another wudu. No, there's no need, because it's not an objective. But if he read sunnah, he read 2 rakats, or he read his 4 rakats sunnah before the dhuhr, and then he sees that, no, I've got few more minutes, let me read another 2 rakats nafil. So he'll read extra sunnah, but he's not going to make extra wudu for no reason. Because the wudu is not the objective, the salah is the objective. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali goes on to explain. He says that life is an objective. Life is an objective. Allah Pak gave us this life, and we have been instructed to look after this life. Life is an objective to such an extent that no matter what problems a person may be undergoing, he cannot commit suicide. It's not permissible for him to take his own life, because life is an objective. Why this life is an objective, we'll come to just now. But this life is an objective. Now, for our existence, to sustain this life, there are certain things that are required. We need food. We need a basic meal. Then we need basic clothing. And we need a basic shelter above our heads. These are the 3 things that we require for our existence, for us to survive. These things are not an objective. This home, food and clothing, these things are not an objective. They are her maqsood. But because it is necessary for our survival, they will become part of the objective. But the thing that becomes part of the objective, we will only pay attention to it baqadre zarurat. That much which is necessary, we will pay attention to it, not more than that. Like wudu. We will make wudu one time. We won't keep on making wudu. So these things which are necessary for our survival, this roti, kapra, makan, our food, our clothing and our shelter, these 3 things which are necessary for our survival, we must only spend that amount of time in acquiring those things, which is necessary. Spending more time than that is like a person who is making 5 wuzus to read 2 rakats nafil salah. It's a foolish act. And this is where we are losing the plot. We are forgetting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in His Karam, in the Quran Sharif, that I have created you to recognize who I am. In order for you to recognize who I am, you have to live. In order for you to live, you have to earn so that you can buy your food, your clothes, and you can have your home. But that is not the objective. Now, if we take ourselves and we ask ourselves the question, how much of my time am I spending in something that is not the objective? And how much of my time am I spending in that which is the objective? The objective is to attain the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without the ma'rifat of Allah Pak, even our ibadat will be dry. Our ibadat also will be dry. When we went recently, Allah Pak took us to the khanqah of our sheikh in Karachi. So in one of the majalis, it was a beautiful thing that was mentioned. What was mentioned was that a person who doesn't have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he is making ibadat, so why he makes ibadat, why does he abstain from sin? Because he keeps thinking, you know what, if I'm going to make this guna, I'm going to go jahannam. If I don't do this, I'm going to go jahannam. If I don't do this... So this person is like a person, his life becomes such, like a person whose motor car has broken down and he's trying to push it uphill. His car is broken down now and he needs to get it to a petrol station or something. Now he's pushing it. Now what effort it takes to push that motor car. How many hands he requires, like, you know, real, he's forcing himself. He doesn't like what he's doing. He doesn't like what he's doing, but he has to do it now. He's like, you know, forced into a situation and he's pushing the car. And that person who makes the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of love for Allah Rabbul Izzat, out of love for Allah ta'ala, he's making ibadat. Then this person is like a person whose motor car is working properly. He's sitting in the motor car. He's got all the amenities, all the toys, all the luxuries, and he is driving down the freeway. He's enjoying his ride. That's the difference. So we have to develop this love for Allah Ta'ala and attain this marifat, this recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's not just going to come just like that. It's not just going to come just like that. There is an effort. For everything in the dunya, we understand that an effort has to be made. For everything, we have to make an effort. We have to take out time. I mean, a man wakes up early in the morning, hot, cold, whatever type of weather, and he goes to work. Why are you going to work? I'm going to go and work and earn, feed my children, feed my wife, pay my rent. And how many hours he spends at work? How many hours he spends? Even a person who Allah Pak has blessed him with so much that if he stops working today, his grandchildren will still eat. But even he wakes up in the morning, I gotta go to work. But when we wake up in the morning, do we say to ourselves, I got to fall in love with Allah? I got to recognize who my Allah is. Do we wake up with this objective that, you know, today I got to make some concerted effort to find who my Allah is? Because that is the reason that my Allah has created me. If I look through my 50 years, 60 years, 70 years of my life and I haven't understood who my Allah is, then I failed in my mission of life. I failed in my mission of life. And the easiest way to find out who our Allah is to go and grab the hand of somebody who has already found out. Tanha na chal sakoge muhabbat ki raah mein. Main chal raha hu, aap mere saath. Hazrat Abu Hazrat Naam Barakatu, my Shaykh and Murshid, he always recites this couplet that you will not be able to walk alone on this road. You will not be able to go it alone. I am walking, come and walk with me. I am walking, come and walk with me. Life is going. My Shaykh Azmaul Ispatiwa Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to always tell us this. He says, today everything is about passing time. You've got to pass the time. Somebody is watching cricket a couple hours. I've got to pass my time. What am I going to do? You know, something that just flashed in my mind now, and I will share it with you. As it is always tell us, if something comes like this in the mind, let's mention it. Many of us that may be sitting here, Allah Pak has blessed us with some sohbat of some sheikh, or we are connected to the work of tabligh, or some, we got some connection with some work of deen. So many of us may have had a television habit, may have had a TV habit, but after coming into the company of our mashayikh, so we realize that this TV is wrong, it's haram. It's no good for us. We need to give it up. So many people give it up. Alhamdulillah. But when it comes to watching sport, when it comes to watching soccer and cricket and news, and many people say, well, I just got the TV just for the news and just for, you know, I just see my sport or something. Like as if to say that's not wrong. Now why I'm mentioning this, is that just the other day, a person sends an email and he says that I'm having a problem where I am pleasing myself with my hands. You know what I'm saying? So please help me, I need to get out of this habit. I'm a married man, old person now, and I'm still involved in this type of a sin. So I asked him, I said, but when are you getting a chance to do this type of thing? And what is inciting you to do this? Because you need to get out of this thing, so whatever is inciting you. So he says, you know, you won't believe it. When I watch news, the presenters on the news is what incites me. So we are thinking sometimes that no, we're just watching news, or we're just watching somebody got one clip on their cell phone. You know, I just watch this with our kurtas and our beards and our suhbat and everything, but you're watching clips on the cell phone. This clip and that clip. These things are harmful. We don't know when shaitan can put the poison there, when our nafs is going to be at a weak moment, and when we're going to get caught up in some guna. Allahumma fazna min, Allah protect us. So what we were saying is that when we wake up in the morning, we have this objective that I have to work, I have to earn, I have to do this, I have to do that. We've got our whole itinerary of things that we need to do. Today we have become so busy that we need palm tops, laptops, this tops, that tops, because we've got so many things we can't even keep a mental note of what we need to do for the day. But anywhere in that list, do we have it written down that I need to fall in love with my Allah? I need to attain the marifat of my Allah. I need to serve this deen of my Allah. There is no way in our itinerary. Whereas that is our maqsood. That is our maqsood. Our objective in life. And we are spending our lives